Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee.
We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. So we've been just doing a study through the book of Matthew, tackling different themes. We've done the Sermon on the Mount. We did one on parables here just not a couple weeks ago. So you can find all those on the Radiant Springs app. It's actually called RSC, but you have to type in Radiant Springs on your Apple phone, your iPhone, or your Droid phone, whatever. But if you type it in, Radiant Springs Church, you'll get the app. App is just really handy, one, for if we have alerts, we can send out an alert to you. It'll send you a notification. It'll send you a notification when the message is uploaded. It'll say, boom, message from today is uploaded. And then you can listen to it right from your phone, right from there. It's pretty slick. And then if you want to give, we're finding out that just younger generations, you know, somebody like Lizzie's age, do you even have a checkbook, Lizzie? See? So younger generations aren't even carrying a checkbook a lot of times. So they use their debit card, credit card, whatever. So if you want to give electronically, that's one of the easier ways to do that. And so it's there, and I encourage you to take advantage of it and get caught up on some messages. And, you know, if you're needing help getting to sleep one night, just put on one of my messages. I guarantee it, by the time it's done, you'll just be... Either you'll be in God's no, you'll be sleeping, or glory of God will come down. All right. So this morning last week we jumped into chapter 14, and we did the feeding of the 5,000. One of the greatest miracles that Jesus performed. Okay, they go out to a remote place to get away from the crowds. The crowds find them. They are far away from any village or town, and it says that the people were like, they were helpless. One of the Gospels says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And the sick, the Greek word that is used there means they were without strength. See, the idea is that they were maybe carried, they're sick. Those that were needing healing, they carried them, helped them get to that place. It was, you know, it wasn't, you know, hopping in a vehicle or even a boat, okay, a speedboat. It was probably taking people, maybe they had a donkey, maybe they didn't, maybe they walked and carried those people there. You know, very likely an hour, 2-3 hours away to get to where they were at. And so Jesus heals them. He has compassion on them. John the Baptist, they just find out he's been beheaded. A friend, a relative of Jesus. So there was that going on. They were feeling the heaviness of that. They wanted some time to withdraw, to retreat. Instead, they find this large crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children. Okay? So it easily could have been 15,000 people there, all right? And instead of taking a detour, Jesus ministers to them. He has compassion. And we see how Jesus provides this incredible miracle because the disciples said, you know what? Sunset's going to be in 4 or 5 hours. People are going to get home, they got a 2-3 hour walk, and they're getting hungry, they're already tired, we need to send them away now. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, okay. Instead, he says, you know what? Yeah, they're hungry and stuff, but I want you to find something for them to eat. Oh, great. One of them says, he's doing the math on his iPhone, and he goes, Jesus, that'd be over 8 months' wages. We don't have that type of money. And so they do a search for food. They find 5 loaves and 2 fish. One boy was stupid enough to say that I had 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? And so Jesus says, bring it here. And he goes, I want you to find something for them to eat. And he breaks the bread, prays over, blesses it, provides a meal for 15,000 people that day. It's an incredible miracle. The disciples helped out. They participated in that miracle. As they distributed the bread, they'd give out a piece of bread, and there was 2 more there. They'd give out another one. Now there's 5. They'd give out another one. It just, as they gave away, it just kept multiplying. They actually had more bread and fish left over after feeding everybody than they did to start off with. Isn't that incredible? And sometimes we underestimate what God can do. And so that's just a great, incredible miracle. So that finishes up. Everybody is satisfied. It's time for them to head home. The sun is starting to set on the horizon. You can see it kind of getting low. Everybody starts heading off. And Jesus puts his disciples in a boat and they hit a storm. So let's read that. Before we tackle that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment, this time to study your word. I pray that you would speak to us through your word. It is your living word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit is here to allow us to understand, but also to embrace it and apply it to our lives. Lord God, give us a truth, a nugget that we can take home with us today that helps us to live for you and glorify you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's start with verse 22 of chapter 14. It says, immediately. Say immediately. All right. That's just like immediately, right? All right, like right now, right? That's going to come up three times here, okay? Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. So Sea of Galilee, northern part of Israel. They're close to Gentile territory. They're actually kind of in a territory that had been dominated by Assyria, so there's some Samaritans up in that area, but also more of a Gentile population, more of a mixed population than they would down in southern Israel by Jerusalem. Verse 23, after he had dismissed them, he sends the people away. He went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. So kind of some of the hillside along the Sea of Galilee. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already considerable distance from land. You know, and it's very possible from that mountainside Jesus could see him out there, couldn't he? When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. We'll talk more about that. During the fourth watch of the night, between 4 and 6 a.m., Jesus went out to them walking on the water, on the lake. And when the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately, there it is again, said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Careful what you ask for. "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Probably even a little more intense than that. If that was you, you would be screaming, right? Verse 31. Immediately, there's that word again, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. I don't know if it was up to his neck, I don't know, waist, I don't know where it was at. Maybe it was right up to there, huh? He reached out his hand and brought him up. He caught him. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, little faith. Why did you doubt?" Then they climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Isn't it amazing? Jesus gets in the boat and the wind dies down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." As if they didn't know after the feeding of the 5,000, now they really believe. Verse 34, when they had crossed over, they landed in Gennesaret, a small village along the Sea of Galilee. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to the surrounding country. People from all over brought their sick to him, begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, his garment. And all who touched him were what? They were all healed. So let's look at this passage in a little more depth. What are some things we see here? And I'm going to give you the point come up kind of up front. Sometimes I give it to you at the end, but you can follow along in your program and on the screen here. The first thing we see is that God will test your faith. God will test your faith. Did you know that? Whose idea was it to get in the boat and go across the lake? Was it the disciples? It was Jesus's, right? He made them get into the boat and go across, and he went up on the hillside. He made them get in the boat. John's account, we learn that why did he have dismissed the crowd and made him get into the boat? Why was there this situation? Probably because in John's gospel, we learn that they wanted to make him king. Okay, they wanted to kind of anoint him and make him king of Israel. All right, because of what the miracle he just did, right? They said, "Wow, this is the Messiah. We need to make him king." And Jesus knew their intentions, and he knew it wasn't time for that to happen. That would come, but it wasn't the right time. And so he sent the disciples away, and he himself went up on the hillside to pray. So we knew there was some things that were happening. And as they're out on this lake, verse 22 says, and 23, and 24, there, 24, the wind was against them. You ever felt like the wind is against you? Doing all that you can, going to church, you're reading your Bible, and the wind is still going against you, right? I remember one of my greatest experiences about being on a boat and the wind was against me was, you know, I was young. It was my first camp out with the Royal Rangers. Royal Rangers is a Christian version of like Boy Scouts. And so we went out, we camped in the pup tent by Golden Lake, which is outside of Findlay, North Dakota. Golden Lake. And this was a real pup tent. It just had canvas like this, two wooden posts, stakes in the ground, no floor in the tent, right? It was just on the ground. You know, and you don't feel the ground when you're that age. It was probably pretty cool, right? I don't know how much I slept that night. My best friend Jason and I, we had this pup tent, and we spent the night. And we couldn't wait to go fishing the next day. So we got a ride to the other side of the lake to go to the store. We rented a little rowboat, okay, and we went out on the lake. Man, it was great. We went across the other side where we were camping. It was no problem. Why? Because the wind was going that way. And it wasn't too bad, but the longer we were over there, we were fishing, all of a sudden the wind began to blow against us, and we realized we were in trouble. And so we tried getting across the lake, and we got, a quarter of the way back, but we just couldn't keep up because the wind was coming so strong, so furious. Finally, I believe it was a pontoon saw us struggling. They came and hooked onto us, got us over to the other side. But it's pretty hard when you're just rowing, and the wind is against you, and you're struggling. And sometimes that's the way it is in life. And the disciples, that was them. They were out on their boat, and the wind is against them. They're trying to get from point A to point B, and they can't get to point B because the wind is against them. And they're in that situation because Jesus made them get into the boat. You didn't think Jesus would do that to you, did you? Sometimes we think that if it's when we're out of the will of God, that's when the storms come, that's when the adversity comes, but you know what? You can be totally in the will of God and you're going to have the wind against you. What we need to catch, the storm came because they were in the will of God and not out of the will of God. All right? That's important to catch. There are storms of correction, okay, and storms of perfection. There's two different types. The storms of correction means, hey, I am not walking in the will of God and God's going to send some adversity my way to get me back on track. That's the storm of correction. Storm of perfection means I'm in the will of God, but God saying, you know what? I want you to have a little more richness and depth to your life. I want you to grow and expand. And often we don't grow when things are easy. It's when we are forced to grow that we're stretched and perfected. And that's what Jesus was doing to them. He goes, I'm going to put you out and I'm going to test your faith. I'm going to have you go against some adversity. See, they had faced a storm in a boat before. Remember that one? Jesus is in the front of the boat, right? He's having a nap. He's just rowing, going with the waves, and the waves are coming in. It's getting pretty bad. Finally, they wake Jesus up and say, hey, Jesus, we're going to drown here. And he stills the wind and the waves, right? But this time, where is Jesus? He's up on the mountainside, right? And they're in the boat alone. Now they're facing this test without him in the boat. You know, I believe when we start out on a Christian journey, often Jesus is right there with us. We sense his presence. He is right there with us. But there will come a time where he is going to put you in the boat. The waves are going to be against you. The wind is going to be against you. And it's going to be like, where is Jesus? I can't see him. And he's going to make you walk by faith, not by sight. Right? He's going to make you do that. Why? Because it's like, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike, right? When you start off, you have the training wheels, right? And all of a sudden, then you have to get rid of the training wheels because you have to learn to walk and ride that bike by yourself without that help, without assistance. He needs to know that you can walk by faith even though we can't see him. He's there by faith, right? Jesus loves you the way that you are. This is based on a Max Lucado book. Jesus loves you the way you are, but he doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to become more like him. That's good. Jesus loves you just the way you are as you walk through these church doors this morning. But guess what? He doesn't want you to stay that way. Why? because there's still things in your life that need to change. There's still things that you need to be stretched and expanded on. And the only way that you're going to do that is if you are tested, if you are tried to bring those qualities to the surface, to where you're pushed to bring out the best. All right? So while they are being tested, where's Jesus again? He's on the mountainside praying. What do you think he was praying for? I think he wanted a personal retreat, right? John the Baptist has been, his life was taken, so maybe he's kind of getting a personal retreat. He's done some exhausting ministry. He wanted to kind of get this retreat. He had compassion on the people, so instead of getting some relaxing time, he's poured out more of himself, his energy, his strength. So maybe it was just kind of being alone with God, touching base with God. But maybe he was also, from where he was at, he's seeing him out there. You think he was praying for his disciples, saying, God, give them the strength to believe? You think he was praying that they would pass the test? Yeah. You know, if you have kids, it's not that you want to keep them from tests in life, but you want them to do well, right? You pray for your kids, pray that they pass the test, right? You don't want them to avoid the test or be exempt from it, but you do want them to grow and you want them to do well. I believe Jesus was there and he was praying for them through the night. Jesus will test your faith. And their test was about to come as they're buffeted, and all of a sudden Jesus walks out on the lake to them, right? And instead of seeing Jesus, they see what do they see? A ghost. Okay, so we always hear them from time to time, right, when they scream. So I want them to hear us this morning. Is that okay? All right? We're going to pull one on them, all right? Okay, so you have to give me your best ghost scream on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. That's pretty good. All right. They see a ghost, right, instead of Jesus. What does that tell us? They're terrified. So even back then, they believed in ghosts, even though they hadn't seen some of the scary movies from today. They believed in ghosts. Instead of seeing Jesus, they see a ghost. What that tells us is that they were looking through eyes of fear rather than faith, right? They were anticipating the worst instead of anticipating that it's actually Jesus coming out to them. And I know none of us are like that, right? All of us, when we are in the midst of the storm, we always see the best is going to come out of it, right? We never are thinking about all the things that could go wrong, right? We don't see ghosts. I know that often we do that. And see, how we are going to respond in the storm, we just don't know, do we? Until we're actually put in that environment, as we go through that test, we really see, are we walking in faith or are we walking in fear? God was giving them a test to help them to distinguish that and to know where they were at. Amen? God will test your faith. Not because he hates you, not because necessarily you're always doing wrong, but because he wants you to grow and he wants you to become like him. Amen? Let's look at a second point. Faith requires action, verses 27 through 30. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. So now they're kind of like taking a deep breath. And then Peter, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water. What was he thinking? And Jesus said, what? Come. Come to me. You know, faith requires action. There's a great book by John Ortberg called, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. If you want to walk on water, man, we want to see a miracle, right? We want to see faith, but we're not willing to step out of the boat. You know, so only Peter is the one that said, hey, I'll walk, step out and walk, right? The other 11 were content in that boat. But Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come out and walk to you. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter took those steps. Faith means that you are going to have to, if you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have to face and overcome your fears. What are you afraid of? Afraid of sharks? I like snorkeling and scuba diving. I've only been scuba diving once, snorkeling a few times. But, you know, the idea of being with a shark, me and a shark, I don't know. It'd take me a little acclimation to get used to that. There's some things. Yeah, going into tight spaces maybe would be a hard one. But if you're going to walk in faith, you have to overcome your fears. Peter had to overcome his fear. Now, they were fishermen, right? They weren't afraid of water. But they were afraid at the wind and the waves. So they must have been, the fact that they were fishermen and they were intimidated by the wind and the waves has to tell you the magnitude of these storms. What we know from the Sea of Galilee is that often storms would come down from these hillsides very quickly, immediately. It would be very quick. And just the smallness of the lake, it's not a huge lake, but it's big enough that it can get some pretty good waves on it very quickly without warning. But if you're going to walk by faith, it means you're going to have to overcome your fears. How many have been skydiving? Nobody has been skydiving here today. Really? Dave. Yeah, you've jumped, right? But if you're going to skydive, you have to overcome that fear that I'm just jumping out of a plane, right? I mean, people that have done it will tell you about it. They're excited about it. It's exhilarating. But if you want to experience that, then it falls away. You're going to have to jump out of the plane. Right? We all want to walk by faith. We all want to experience the miraculous provision of God, but many of us don't want to step out of the boat. We don't want to jump out of the plane. We don't want to face our fears. What if I step out and God isn't there to catch me? Right? Faith requires action. I think about when we moved to Crete over 14 years ago now. It was a step of faith. God had expanded our faith leading up to that. But when we came here, it was kind of like, it was another step of faith. Not only just the provision part of it, okay? Financial provision, finding a house, living in a community, doing church plants. But you have to realize 50% of church plants don't make it past the first year. That's not very good odds, folks. If you were going to invest money and you only had a 50% odd, how many would you invest? Probably wouldn't. You want something that's 80, 90 or higher, right? 50% chance. And then you go to that 3 to 5 year mark, another 25-50% don't make it. It's not very good odds. But I had one of my professors tell me that if anything is worth doing, it is worth failing at. If it's worth doing, it's worth failing at. And in America, we don't like failure. We see failure as this badge that, man, you are no good for nothing when you fail. But here's the honest truth, folks. Do you learn more through success or through failure? Failure. You will learn a lot more through failure than you do through success. Thomas Edison, I don't know, how many times did he fail at the light bulb before he got a light bulb? Huh? He probably had, you know, these LED things, he'd probably think, wow, you know, just look, that'd be just pretty cool, wouldn't it? We learn more through failure than doing, but in America we have this bad perception. You know what? If you failed, that's just one way that you know it doesn't work and you're going to learn from that. Learn from your failures. Learn from your trips up. Learn from those things because that's when you're going to expand. That's when you're going to grow. Faith requires action. When God calls us to step out of the boat, take that step with Him. All right? He's not going to let you fall. You start sinking, He's going to reach out. He's going to catch you. Right? You're His child, right? Just think of your kid when you're helping. Let's go back to the riding the bike thing. You're there with them, right? If they fall, you're going to catch them, right? But you're going to try and get so they get their balance on their own and they go on their own, right? You're not going to let them fall. God is the same way. He wants you to get on your own walking by faith, not just by sight. If our faith is just totally dependent on, the pastor's there holding my hand, or we have this very real presence that Jesus is with us. You know, the glory of God is just there. When we kind of like when we accept Christ into our life, we sense His presence. It's not always like that, folks. There's times you're going to go through your Christian walk and you're going to say, God, where are you? I'm praying, but you're not there. I don't sense you. I don't feel you. I don't see you. But see, that's where you walk by faith and not by sight. And God is going to go with you. Am I making sense? Okay. All right. God will test your faith. Faith will require action. Let's look at the last one here. Verses 31 to 36. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. He caught Peter. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." Ouch. Doesn't that just hurt? But here's the thing. He didn't say he didn't have any faith, right? He just said, "You just have a little faith." That's better than no faith, right? Okay. All right. He said, "Why did you doubt?" That word doubt means two outcomes. You see two outcomes. Faith sees one outcome. Faith says, well, either I'm going to walk on water. Doubt says, either I'm going to walk on water or I'm going to sink. It's one of the two, right? Faith sees, I'm going to walk on water. When he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were with him, they worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And they go to the other side. The people meet them there. The sick are healed, right? Well, you learn that, number three, that testing creates room for growth. Testing creates room for growth. So in the school system meeting, do they know their English? Do they know their math? Do they know their history? The only way you can know where somebody is at is by testing them. That's how you assess where they're at, right? Are they learning what they're supposed to be learning? Through this test, we learn that Peter has a little faith. The other disciples, we don't know because they never got out of the boat, right? But we know that Peter, although it was little faith, he had some there. And it would grow and expand to where he would become one of the key leaders of the church. But see, he wasn't the key leader of the church. That was a process that God took him through. He wasn't that overnight. It was over these lessons, over these tests, that his faith was expanded and it created room for growth in his life. We learn that Peter had faith and he took action. He was maturing in his faith, and thus he did doubt, but he was learning to put his trust in God. So my question, now I'm going to direct my questions to you. What would you have done if that was you in the boat and you saw Jesus? Would you have seen Jesus or would you have seen a ghost? Would you have been content just to sit in that boat, or would you say, "Lord, if that's you, let me come out and walk to you on the water"? If Jesus said, "Come out to me in the water," would you have stayed in the boat? Or would you have stepped out of the boat to meet him? Would you have walked in total faith? Or would you have seen the wind and the waves and began to sink like Peter? What have you done? That's a pretty... We can be hard on Peter, can't we? Oh, he didn't have enough faith. Would we have had enough faith? We can all say that we are a person of faith, but as Jesus puts us in those positions to be tested, it'll reveal how true that statement is. Storms of life, you might want to write this down. Storms of life are not easy, but they are necessary. Storms of life are not easy, but they are necessary. They are necessary. I'm going to have the musicians come. In North America, we do see failure in a bad light, I think. Instead of seeing it for what it is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to know where we're at, what we can try differently, to have that resilient attitude that we're going to work through it and become better, stronger through that experience. Christianity is not for wimps. I say that from time to time. Because it's not. If you think if it's a matter of I'm going to invite Jesus into my life and life is just going to be hunky-dory, can we still use that term? That it's going to be perfect, that it's going to be all roses. It's not. There's going to be times that God is going to absolutely test your faith. Not because you're doing wrong, but because He loves you. He says, "You know what? It's time for you to go from the milk bottle to eating meat. It's time for you to go from the tricycle to riding a bike on your own. It's time for you to not just walk by sight, but now it's time for you to walk by faith and to grow and to mature so that we can do the things that God has called us to do. God loves you the way you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to become more like Him. Amen? Powerful lesson that we see here. I'm going to have you stand this morning. probably different levels of faith need to be expressed this morning. Maybe there's some here that just need to put their faith in Christ. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If at this moment you were to leave this place this morning and you didn't have an opportunity to accept Christ, you just don't know if you'd be, and God would call you home. You don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell. You just don't know. Because there's questions there. You don't know if you're right with God or not. Maybe you need to express faith in Him this morning. We're going to lead in a prayer concerning that. That you can put your faith in God. That not only that you believe that there is a God, but you believe in Him. That He is your Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. He so loved you. Yes, the world, but He loves you. That He was willing to send His Son to die on the cross for you, for me, for all of us. And I believe there's some here this morning that God is, He's stretching your faith, what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. We're probably all at different levels of maturity and growth in God. And maybe some of you are in that boat right now. You're facing the waves. It feels like everything's against you. So when we're in those circumstances, it's a good time to assess, okay, am I walking with God? Am I in the will of God? Sometimes we're not. If we're not, then we need to repent of our sins and confess those to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But if, to the best of our knowledge, we are walking with God, then it's, okay, God, what are you wanting to accomplish in my life? How can I be stretched? How can I grow? What are you wanting to accomplish in me? You know what? God loves you so much that He really wants you to flourish and to grow and expand. And then sometimes the only way that can happen is if He throws us in the boat and He makes us go across into the wind and the waves. But He has His eye on us and He's praying for us. Hebrews says He's always interceding for us. Amen? And some of you need a lot of prayer. Okay? Just saying. All right? Keep Jesus busy. I do. I keep Him busy. I believe God is calling us to be stretched. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Just a first of all prayer of salvation. I'm going to invite everybody to pray, but specifically, Lord, for those that don't have that assurance this morning, and you need to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that your sins are forgiven and you have the hope of heaven. So I'm going to lead us in that and then a prayer for us all. So let's pray together, saying, Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my disobedience and doing my own thing. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I accept the work you did on the cross and dying for my sins. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord God, there's seasons in our life. There's seasons that are very fruitful and productive, and then there's also seasons of testing. Lord God, where you want to stretch us to walk beyond sight, but to trust your word and who you are, and that we can walk by faith. And Lord God, I believe that there's probably, in a group this size, there's probably more than just one that is, they're in the boat and they're feeling the wind and the waves and they're saying, God, where you're at. They're praying. They're just not, they're seeing ghosts, they're seeing wind, but Lord God, we need to see you. And Lord God, I pray that you would stretch us and shape us and mold us. Lord God, in the midst of the storm, may we know your love, may we know your strength, may we know your provision, Lord God. Shape us and mold us, Lord God. Let us become the people of faith you've called us to be, Lord God. They can trust you. They can walk in faith and believe you for great and mighty things, Lord God. It's not going to happen overnight, but let us be a people of faith that walk with you and trust your word, Lord God. Father, we just ask this in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to have Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me and Christy. If you need prayer this morning, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, for something that's happened in your life, we just want to agree with you in prayer. If you accepted Christ this morning as your Lord and your Savior, it would be a great time to pray with somebody and talk through that decision with somebody. They're going to close us in this course, Oceans. talks about walking out on the water. We just talked about that, didn't we? What is God stretching you in? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and just take the words that were spoken this morning. Let Him take that by the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to you. And just let Him seal some of that in your... Maybe He has some promises from His Word for you, or maybe He's challenging you, or I don't know, but just let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning, I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, faith is an interesting thing. Probably one of my greatest tests of faith was when we made a move from North Dakota to Springfield, Missouri. And God had placed some things within my own heart, things, plans, dreams. Sometimes those things just seemed like they were so far out there and weren't a reality. We just made it a matter of prayer. And some of it hinged upon, even just as a couple, that we were afraid to take that step because we didn't know what would be there when we stepped out of the boat. Was there going to be something firm that was going to catch us, or were we going to sink? Were we hearing God, or was it just our own dreams and plans? And while I was in that process and we were just kind of trying to navigate through that, I was managing a campground for a couple years, a Bible camp up in North Dakota. And so a college retreat was there that weekend. And so I was just kind of checking in on them, making sure everything was good. And the evangelist was from Toronto area. But he was talking about faith. And so he was talking. It was kind of interesting. So I just sat there and I wrote some notes. And hopefully one day I'll find those notes. I can't find them. But he just really expanded on what it meant to walk by faith and trust God. And so God was just, boy, it's just like, I know he was speaking to those college kids, but God was speaking to me that day. I know some of you talk about that on Sunday mornings. Pastor Brent, you were just talking right to me. Well, that's the Holy Spirit taking it. I don't know that. He does. He knows where you're at. And God was speaking directly to me. And it was shortly after that, that was in like November or something like that. It was in December that we got news that a position was open in Springfield. We had like a couple days to make a decision. Within 2 weeks, we moved down there. Less than 2 weeks, we packed up, moved down there. I started seminary full-time. She started a new job full-time. That was a huge step of faith for us, folks. But God worked with me through that process. Even kind of prepared my heart to do that. And that led for us to come here, because then I had a little more faith that, you know what, God, I can take the step to come here. And I thought, man, I'm glad I never have to be tested in faith again. And then God, He tests you again. Because even in our time here in 14 years, there's been some really good times. And there's been some valleys. Some of you have been through those valleys with us. There's peaks and valleys. There's been a couple, at least three valleys. It's been tough times. God's led us through that. You never see what's going to be on the other side unless you walk through those valleys with God. Amen? That's when you grow. That's when you're stretched. It's in the valley. The valley. Father, this morning,